Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Monday, August 25th, 2014, episode 10.09, the NFC North preview show, I'll cover the Chicago Bears and have fans come in to help me talk about the Lions, Packers, and Vikings. Teams start to trim their rosters down to 75 men, and some big names have already received the axe. Brandon Merriweather gets a two-game suspension. Another name that we know from last year had caused problems, Richie Incognito, might find a job in Florida. The Jets suspend a cornerback for going AWOL, and the Vikings decide to start Matt Cassel instead of rookie Teddy Bridgewater. Plus, I finished season 4 of Game of Thrones. Now what, people? Now what? Chomp it in! Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves. Oh man, that's right. I have finally all caught up with Game of Thrones. I just finished season 4, and this is a spoiler alert, I'm telling you right now, don't listen for the next couple minutes if you have any desire to ever watch the show, Game of Thrones. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to turn away. People, season 4 has been crazy. Right off the bat, boom, Joffrey dies. They kill the king, dude, with poison. And I was like, finally. I cannot recall ever being so happy with the death of a TV character as I was when that little shit died. I mean, it was awesome. I had never been so happy to see someone die on TV. I mean, he was a despicable jerk. And the way he just pushed his uncle, it's good. You know, nothing against the actor. I'm sure that young man was a fabulous young man. But the character he portrayed, he did too well a job. I really despised him, and I'm glad that he won't be with us anymore. But anyways, I'm all caught up. I can't believe I have to wait until March now to the start of season 5. That, my friends, is the horrendous problem with binge watching. I watched 4 seasons over 2.5 weeks, and now I have to wait 6 months until a new episode is launched. I mean, I don't understand it. What happened to Jon Snow? Who's the dude in the cave with Little Snow? Where the heck is Arya going? We didn't see Sansa in the final 2 episodes. Why? Why? Did Tyrion kill his father Tywin, or is he just wounded? Why did they have to kill off Ygritte? She was awesome, although I'm sure my wife is happy that another redhead is off the show. Trisha, it's okay. I wonder if Trisha recognized, sweetie, did you recognize her from Downton Abbey? Because she was in that. Anyways, what the hell is going on with Jaime and Cersei? I can't wait. I have to wait 6 to 7 months to answer all those questions. Oh, I'm sorry. I had to get that off. I had to get off my chest. It was just so good. So good of a show. And now I am all caught up and have to wait such a long time. Well, let's get to football now, and teams starting to cut to 75. Oh, man. The mandate by the league is on August 26th. You have to have your rosters down to 75 men. So some names have already gotten the axe. If you look at quarterbacks, Dennis Dixon got cut by the Buffalo Bills. Not a good sign when you can't beat up Jeff Toole or Thad Lewis. You can't beat those guys out of the job. You don't deserve to be on the team. Carson's little brother, Jordan Palmer, got the axe. The Chicago Bears decided to go with Jimmy Clausen. Ugh. So Palmer there is probably out and done of the NFL. Quarterback Ryan Lindley is done in Arizona as the Cardinals have decided to kill the Ryan Lindley experiment. Remember when he was like the talk of the town? He had like one big game and it was like, yeah, this guy's going to be great. And well, there he goes. He's out of a job now. Wide receivers, Jacoby Ford. So much for speed, huh, Oakland? The Jets wideouts are in disarray, yet this guy could not make it with the New York Jets. He got released. And if he can't make it in New York, he can't make it anywhere. His speed is just not going to do it. You actually have to run some routes, Jacoby. Anthony Armstrong with Kyle Shanahan couldn't make the Browns roster. A Browns roster whose wide receiving core is so suspect that I have no idea why he couldn't make the team, especially since he already knew the offense and he worked with Shanahan when he was with Washington. So he got cut there. The New England Patriots got a couple names on defense. Tommy Kelly and Will Smith are gone. And Jay Feely. Feely. Nothing more than Feely. The kicker. Arizona Cardinals parted ways with Feely. Look, I can't blame him. You know, he had missed preseason field goals. You cannot miss field goals in the preseason. Can't miss them in the regular season, but you certainly can't miss them in the preseason, especially when they have a young guy right there ready to take your job. And the 48-yarder he missed against Cincinnati, it wasn't even close, people. It was ugly. So goodbye to Feely. I'm sure that teams there needing a kicker might pick him up soon. Those are just some of the names that have started to go down. Most of the teams are already down to 75 men on their roster. They keep those men on through Thursday, where their final preseason game is for everybody on Thursday night. Then the following day, start whittling those rosters down to 53. The cool thing is, for some of these players that might get cut, the NFL has increased the size of the practice squad to 10 players per team. So that's another 320 jobs that are available there. So even if you get cut, you may land on a practice squad and still have a job in the NFL. So let's see how that plays out over the next several weeks. Richie Incognito? What? That's right. The guy who was at the center of it all last year in Florida as a Miami Dolphin with the whole Jonathan Martin bullying scandal finds himself possibly signing with another team in Florida. Incognito was visiting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The league, the NFL being the NFL, has said that they have reinstated Incognito so that he can now come back into the league and play. And, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers feel that they need an offensive lineman. So he was visiting with them. Nothing's been signed yet, but I would not be surprised if Incognito has another job in Tampa Bay before the season starts. Look, everyone coming into the league that has been around the league has some baggage from somewhere. You remember there was the Brett Favre who kept retiring and going places, and then Terrell Owens bounced from team to team for a while. And there's Jonathan Martin. Do I agree what he did and some of the things that he said and did to Jonathan Martin? No, I don't. But if the league sees fit to have him give him another shot and let him come back into the league, Tampa Bay Buccaneers players are certainly saying that, you know, they'll give him a shot. As they said, as long as he fits in the locker room and you know, he's left his past behind him. Demir Dobson, the tackle, said, everybody deserves a second chance at life. I think this is his second chance. So we'll see how that plays out. But keep your eye on Richie Incognito as he may be returning to the league. The Washington Redskins find out that Brandon Merriweather, their safety, who loves to lower the boom on people, boom, that's right, he lowered the boom on wide receiver Torrey Smith of the Baltimore Ravens this past Saturday during a preseason game, and the hit was so bad, the league has come out and suspended him for 2 games. Now, catch this, people. It's a 2-game suspension. It takes effect Monday, September 1st, at which point, at that point, he has to leave the facility. He can't have anything to do with the team. And he'll be reinstated on Monday, September 15th, after the Week 2 game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So the Redskins know now that they probably be without Merriweather for 2 games. This is his 6th violation for unnecessary roughness. 6th. And he's been disciplined 5 times before for illegal hits. 5 times. Now, last year he was suspended for 2 games. He appealed that suspension. And it was reduced to one game by Ted Cottrell. Ted is probably going to listen to appeal again if he appeals again. But I don't see how you can reduce the suspension to one game this year after doing that last year. And this guy's already been, you know, disciplined five other times. You have got to start teaching this guy a lesson. Brandon Merriweather can no longer hit the way he's been hitting people. He gave Eddie Lacy a concussion last year, and he kind of knocked himself out of that game as well in a game against the Green Bay Packers. You cannot hit and lead with your head. Basically, the vice president of football operations, Troy Vincent, who imposed the suspension, said that Merriweather delivered a forceful blow to the head and neck area of a defenseless receiver with no attempt to wrap up or make a conventional tackle. That's the big thing. He just launched himself in there to make the big boom. He wanted to get the big boom, smack him, but he didn't try to wrap or make a tackle. And that's just showing to the league, this guy just wants to launch himself and hit people. And that's why they've suspended him for two games. I hope if he appeals, it doesn't get reduced to two, because they got to start teaching him a lesson. He will start learning once he starts missing chunks of money from his game check. I mean, you're going to miss two game checks? That's going to hurt. And if he does it again, suspend him four. And then at some point, you have to consider getting him out of the league. You can't let him continue to play that way, because he's obviously showing the sixth violation for unnecessary roughness. He's showing that he doesn't care. He's not going to change. I play the way I play, and I'm going to keep doing it. At some point, Brandon Merriweather, you got to apply to the rules, and you got to stick to the rules. So it may be time that the league be a little bit harder with him. I don't think that they should lower the suspension of two games down to one. This time it needs to stand. It needs to stick. It needs to teach him a lesson that he can't continue going on this way. Fortunately, Torrey Smith is okay. But the league has spoken, and hopefully it stays. If it stays, Brandon Merriweather will miss the first two games, where Washington plays the Houston Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ah, the New York Jets having a little bit of an issue with one of their players, so much so that he went AWOL. Is that what it was? I mean, it was an unexcused absence. I'm talking about cornerback Dimitri Patterson. And over the weekend, he kind of like missed some practices. Nobody knows where he was. He didn't inform anybody of where he was going. And it kind of like John Isaac, the general manager of the Jets, and Rex Ryan, they were just like, you know, I've never been in a situation where a player just didn't show up for a game, Rex Ryan said. And how do you not show up for a game? I know it's just the preseason game, but still. So Isaac said that Dimitri Patterson has been suspended indefinitely. They're going to investigate the matter further. They want to see whether, you know, where's his commitment? Is his commitment to the New York Jets and to playing football with the Jets this season? Or what does he want to do? The funny thing is that Patterson texted Josina Anderson of ESPN. I was going to say another network, but it's ESPN. And she told Anderson, yes, I'm okay. I did not go AWOL. This is comical. Comical? They couldn't find you. You didn't show up for a game. That's not funny. And you didn't let anybody know either. So the Jets have some digging to do, trying to find out what's going on there with Patterson. He said, I guess here's an update. They're reporting that Patterson didn't show up for the Jets game on Friday because he was unhappy with his current standing on the depth chart. You think this is going to make them warm up to you, Dimitri? Show up. Play the game. Take it like a man. If you want out, tell the team you want out and go out and be done. But don't just not show up because you're not happy where you're standing on the team's depth chart. Man up. Go get the job. Play harder. Yeah, you didn't play well the first game. Jeez Louise. It's crazy. And then you're trying to tell people that you didn't miss a game, that you didn't go AWOL. That's going AWOL. When you don't tell your employer, if I don't tell my employer that I don't show up for work and I don't show up for a couple days, but I don't call anybody or let anybody know, you know what? They just give my job to somebody else. He's lucky that he doesn't come into the Jets facilities and they're like, you know what? We're just going to give your job to somebody else. Not looking good for him. And as I said, the New York Jets have suspended him for indefinitely. So we don't even know when he's going to come back right now as the Jets try to figure it all out. Sorry for the Jets having to have to deal with that. But sometimes that's the way it is. Okay, the Minnesota Vikings have chosen their starting quarterback. And it is not rookie Teddy Bridgewater. The Vikings have told Matt Castle that he will start week one. And I do have to say that Castle has performed pretty well in the preseason. But Bridgewater has not looked like a slouch either. This announcement, however, means that of the three quarterbacks drafted in the first round earlier this year, Blake Bortles, 22nd was Johnny Manziel, and 32nd overall, the final pick of day one, Teddy Bridgewater. Neither three quarterbacks drafted in the first round will start week one for their respective teams. Matt Castle gets the nod over Bridgewater. Hoyer gets the nod over Johnny Football. And Chad Henne gets the nod over Blake Bortles. And that one is the one that really baffles me because I have no idea. Watching the Jacksonville Jaguars preseason games, how Henne has outplayed Blake Bortles in any of those football games. Blake Bortles looks poised. He looks calm. He comes up to the line of scrimmage. He reads the defense. He assesses the defense. I've seen him twice come up, look at the defense, audible out of a call, and then make the proper read and throw the ball down the field to get a first down. That is a sign of maturity to me. Now, I remember earlier this season, I made fun of the Jacksonville Jaguars for drafting this cat. I was like, you took Blake Bortles 3 overall in the draft? Wow. I mean, he better just be awesome. And so far, everything I've seen, he has been awesome. My only question now to Jacksonville is, why not start the kid? Why not put him ahead of Chad Henne, who obviously you've seen what Henne can do. You've known what Henne could do because you saw it last year. Why not go with Blake Bortles now? You took him 3rd overall for crying out loud. And he's looking solid. And it's not like, you know, the first 3 weeks of the season, it's not like you're playing the Super Bowl champs. Well, are they playing the Super Bowl champs? Who are they playing? They're not playing the Super Bowl champs weeks 1, 2, or 3 of this season. Jacksonville starts the season on the road against the Eagles and against the Redskins. They come home to play the Colts. That should be pretty tough. And then they go on the road to play the Chargers before they come back home to play the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's the first 5 weeks. The Eagles and Redskins, it's on the road, but those are a couple defenses that aren't the toughest defenses in the league right now. And then you got to get ready for the Indianapolis Colts. That's why you drafted this guy, so he can go toe-to-toe with an Andrew Luck. Very, very intriguing aspect of starting Henne. If Henne loses those first 3-4 games and the Jags are 0-4 heading into week 5 against the Steelers, I don't know. You don't want to throw the kid out there against the Steelers to get his first start, and you're 0-4. But the Jacksonville Jaguars right now maintain that Blake Bortles is going to sit all year, and he's going to learn. I still think you learn by getting out there and playing some football, but we'll see what the Jags do. I seriously believe that Henny struggles those first couple games, week one against the Eagles, week two against the Redskins. Even if they lose both of those games, I'm not sure that they're going to be ready to bring in Blake Bortles. I think they should start from the beginning. There is no good way to ease him in. Unlike Johnny Manziel in Cleveland, who I think they don't want to throw him in against those division rivals early. Then they have the early bye. They could then bring him in week five. There's not the scenario here with the Jacksonville Jaguars because they play in London week 10. So their bye week isn't until week 11. At that point, your season's done. So congratulations to Matt Castle getting the start there in Minnesota. I will keep a close eye on the Jacksonville Jaguars and see what they do with Henny and Blake Bortles as the season goes along, because I do believe right now I would start Blake Bortles over Chad Henne if I were the Jacksonville Jaguars. He has looked that sharp this preseason. Now it's time, fellas, to get to the NFC North. And in the NFC North, I'll start with the Chicago Bears. This is the only team where I did not get a fan for fans' take. So I'm going to assess the Chicago Bears by myself. And first question I have is Jay Cutler. Can he hold up? You know, they've already decided to get rid of Carson Palmer's little brother, Jordan Palmer. So that means they're sticking with Jimmy Clausen at Cutler's backup. If Jay Cutler gets injured, I'm telling you, it's safe to say if he goes down, so do the Chicago Bears. I've seen Jimmy Clausen play many times. Seen him live many times. And I'm shocked that he beat out Jordan Palmer as the Bears' backup quarterback. I'm not sure that I like that move. But apparently Trestman sees something in Clausen that he doesn't see in Palmer. Cutler, you know, Cutler's been looked pretty solid, and he obviously has a good rapport with Brandon Marshall, the wide receiver there. My only concern is the addition of Santonio Holmes. When he was with the Jets, he was kind of like a give me the ball kind of a guy. Well, the Bears are already pretty much set with Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffries. So where is Holmes going to fit in? Is he going to be the slot guy? And is he going to see enough balls to stay happy? Because I remember with the Jets, Santonio Holmes was the kind of guy, if he's not happy, if he doesn't get the looks and the passes coming his way, he might kind of start to become a distraction for that team. Seahawks did torch him in week three of the preseason. I mean, it was not a pretty game for the Chicago Bears, which leads me to believe, or leads me to question, the defense. Is it enough? Do they have the right defense? I know that during free agency, they lost some folks. They brought in Jared Allen, a defensive end from the Minnesota Vikings, and that should help. Ryan Mundy, the free safety, came in from the Giants. They also brought in Danny McCray from the Dallas Cowboys. So they went out and they brought in some pieces that they think might help them. My only concern is that even those guys who are seasoned veterans, I mean, Ryan Mundy has been in the league for 6 years, and Danny McCray, this is his fourth season. So can these guys that have been around the block, can they come in and help the Chicago Bears? Last year, the Chicago Bears looked pretty good until all of a sudden the wheels came off. And that's what the Bears have to avoid this season. They have to not just kind of give up the second half of the season. They can't let the wheels fall off like it did last year. They were playing some solid football. The other thing is that offensive line, though, they seem to do well blocking for Matt Forte. And Matt Forte catching the ball out of the backfield is as dangerous as anyone out there on the football field. But when they need to protect Jay Cutler, Can they hold up? That's going to be the big question, especially since I don't believe they have a solid backup. There are not many teams. I'll be fair. There are not many teams out in the National Football League who have a solid backup. But rolling with Jimmy Clausen can be dangerous. So I'm sure Bears fans will want to make sure that Jay Cutler stays upright. All right, coming in to represent the Detroit Lions, I won't call them kitty cats in front of him, is Rico Stone. Rico, how you doing, man?
I am doing great, sir. How are you, sir?
Doing fantastic. So, Rico, let me get this straight. You're in San Antonio, Texas, but you follow the Lions. What's that all about?
Okay, it's very simple. I am born and raised from Detroit.
Okay.
But I've been in the Air Force for 15 years, and I'm currently stationed here in San Antonio.
That works. That's the easy explanation. All right. So the Detroit Lions last year, they struggled a bit. Sometimes they looked hot and fantastic. Other times it was like, oh, wait, how is that? So let's start off with the offensive side of the ball. Matt Stafford obviously throws the football a lot. It's got some great weapons. But can the offensive line protect and hold up this year and not get Matt Stafford injured?
Absolutely. We have a bevy of offensive linemen who are relatively young. Last 2 years, it's been a kind of a remodeling project, so to speak. We were one of the oldest offensive lines going back to 2011. And through the various draft picks that we've had over the last couple of years and the fact that they have grown up mighty quickly, we were able to make a change of the guard with Jeff Backus at the left tackle position. And we've done some rearranging along the rest of the offensive line. So now we're one of the youngest. And especially with our third-round draft pick from last year, Larry Warford, who is an absolute beast. So there's no doubt we'll be able to protect Matt Stafford this year.
All right. And
actually, that's one of my least concerns.
So is Jeff Backus going to be left tackle and right tackle? Are they putting Cherylis?
Yes, that was our main combo back in 2011. And now they've been replaced by Riley Reiff and Adrian Waddle.
All right. How about on the defensive side of the ball? How do they look over there? Obviously, Ndamukong Suh, if he stays out of trouble. But you know, Cliff Averill, Kyle Vandenbosch. Will the defense be as solid as it's been, and can they be better?
I'll tell you, that's another remodeling project, too. With Ndamukong Suh being, well, Ndamukong Suh, I know with the hit last week versus the Jaguars, it brought the old demons back again, his maturity and things like that. Hopefully, he's being talked to very much so by the new Lions coaching staff. I know Nick Fairley, he's had some issues, too, with his weight and that type of stuff. I don't know what to make of it, to be honest with you. But along the defensive end, I think we're fine. The linebackers, with the acquisition of Kyle Van Noy with the second-round pick this year, I think we'll be fine there. DeAndre Levy, our weak side linebacker, I mean, he was very underrated last year, should have made the Pro Bowl, had 7 interceptions, so I think we're good there. Now, the secondary, that's a totally different question. I don't know how we're going to fare this year, to be honest with you. All I can hope for is that they remain decent at least, and hopefully the front 7 can get after the quarterback and rush some throws.
All right, well, you know, the Detroit Lions, they start off against the Giants at home, and the Giants haven't looked like they can scare anybody right now. But after that, they got Carolina, they got Green Bay, they go on the road to play the Jets. If they struggle coming out of the gate there, and say they're 1-3, now, do they start to panic, or do they feel that they will just kind of roll with it and try to turn the season around?
Well, good question. I honestly believe that if we do start off slow, I think we have to, put our trust in our new coaching staff with Jim Caldwell and Joe Lombardi and our new defensive coordinator. If we study the course, I think we'll be fine. Especially with our first game being against the Giants, that'll be a good stepping stone, so to speak. Especially with the Panthers, I'm not too scared of them either. I think our first real test will be against the Packers, but we will be at home to go against them. So I don't think that'll be our first real test, but I think we'll be able to handle it just fine. But if not, I think the new leadership under Jim Caldwell will suffice for us as going forward.
All right, on the offensive side of the ball, you've added Golden Tate, rookie Eric Ebron. Is that going to help or hurt Kelvin Johnson?
Oh, it will definitely help. I've done a little bit of research, and just going back from 2011, the amount of targets that Kelvin Johnson received from Matt Stafford is over twice as many as Nate Burleson, who's no longer with us, and Chris Jordan combined. So if you just for the fact that we have somebody else on the other side of the ball that can at least garner some attention from opposing defenses, I think that helps Calvin. And given the fact that, you know, he's a little bit older now, the injuries are starting to pile up, I think the sense of urgency from our front office was very apparent in getting Golden Tate, who has arguably some of the best hands in the league. And I think that was a big problem that we had from our other receivers last year. So I think that will help out tremendously. And it will, if it does nothing else, it will help preserve Kelvin Johnson going forward into the later parts of the year.
All right, how about the other side of the ball on defense, the secondary? You know, they got a lot of big receivers to deal with, Jordy Nelson, Brandon Marshall, Cordarrelle Patterson. So it's like the other teams in this division are pretty stacked at wide receiver. You look at Mathis and Slay. Are they going to be able to hold up against those bigger guys?
I really, really don't know, to be honest with you. It's time for Darius Slay to step up this year. He really has to. He was a second-round pick last year. I know the cornerback position as a whole is one of the toughest to transition from college to the pros. But I think if he can help be decent at least, and Rasheem Mathis with his experience, and along with the second or our safety positions, which are now more veteran-laden now, hopefully that will help us. But, again, when you're talking about the big receivers that – you know, that Chicago brings to the table, that the Packers bring to the table. And then I think, you know, the Vikings are a little bit of a question mark, kind of, sort of, even with Cordarrelle Patterson. He's a speedy guy. But other than that, he's the only dude that really scares me, to be honest with you. but really, it's all going to depend on that front seven, I mean, to be honest. And hopefully some ball hawking skills from our safeties, hopefully.
So is James Igbo and Glover Quinn, are those going to round out the safeties in the secondary?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, that's the only concerns me. I mean, I think the Lions have the firepower. I mean, I saw Reggie Bush go up for like a 78-yard touchdown into preseason.
Yes, sir.
So I think offensively they'll have the firepower to match the other teams in the division. I just don't know if the defense is going to be strong enough, especially in the secondary, to hold up. So we'll see how that plays along. Now, before I let you go, I've been asking everyone else who comes in how they think the team is going to go. I love this because obviously this is the fans' take. The Lions were 7-9 last year. They came in third. Are they going to be the same? Are they better or worse than they were a season ago?
Well, as the season breaks down, I think – to answer your question, I think the biggest goal for the team this year is to finish. And we've been known for getting to hot starts and then just sputtering out after, like, the Thanksgiving game. Now, I will say that the first 8 games of the season looks pretty promising to me. We only have 3 playoff teams from last year that we faced first. And then after the bye week, after the London game, then we go on, and then we'll have a little bit of a tougher test, especially with going to New England. And then we finish off the last 2 games of the season against the Bears and Packers on the road. So that's going to be a big test for us. But to answer your question directly, I think the best case scenario will be 10-6. And then at worst, I would say it will be 9-7. Hopefully, with that 10-6 record, that will get us in. But, you know, the NFC is pretty tough this year. So at the very least, we'll be wild card contenders. I don't know if we'll be enough to really take over the Packers and winning the division. But at the very least, we should be a wild card threat.
Well, that's going to be a very, very interesting scene as the Detroit Lions finish the season at home against the Vikings, and then to back-to-back road games against the Bears and Packers. You can pretty much figure out what's going to happen to the Lions those final 3 weeks of the season, playing against the three division foes back-to-back-to-back like that.
Yeah.
So they better
December, but we'll be okay.
So they better beat the Packers early in the season. That's what I'm saying. Beat the Packers early.
Yeah, that's a big one. If I mean, that's the first division game we have. I mean, we should make it a good one. Is that home? We got to show up. I mean, they are our nemesis, and then hopefully everything else will fall into place.
All right. It has been Rico Stone. I love your email address, Stone Cold, because he's a Stone Cold killer, people.
Yes,
Rico,
sir.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for joining, and thanks for serving our country. We really appreciate that as well, man.
Oh, I appreciate the support, sir.
And I tell you what, Rico, if the Detroit Lions start making some noise during the season, we'll make sure we have you back on.
Oh, absolutely. I look forward to it.
Right now on Fans Take, joining me is Pete Lopino to talk to Green Bay Packers. Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Steven. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. Thank you very much. So Green Bay looked pretty good in their final preseason game against the Oakland Raiders. Well, it wasn't the final one, but the dress rehearsal game, beating Oakland 31-21. They looked pretty good. What do you think?
I thought they looked pretty good. Aaron Rodgers continues to look pretty good. The completion percentage was a little low in that game. There's a little bit of miscommunication, but overall during the preseason, I think they've looked pretty good offensively. Defensively, I'd have to say the front seven is looking vastly improved from last year, despite the loss of B.J. Raji early in that game. There's still some question marks, I would say, with the secondary. There's still some miscommunication, some mistakes made there, especially on the big run from Jones-Drew early in the game.
Yeah.
But I think those things will be shored up as the season progresses.
All right, well, what are the Packers, I guess the first question I have, what are the Packers going to do at quarterback behind Aaron Rodgers? Is it Tolzien? Is it Flynn? Because Flynn looked pretty miserable over the last couple games. Do they keep three quarterbacks? What do you think the Packers do there?
Well, last season I think it was important to bring Matt Flynn into the stable because of the inconsistency that Tolzien brought to the table. I think this preseason has kind of symbolized the gap closing between Flynn and Tolzien as Tolzien becomes more comfortable with the offense. I think Tolzien has more to offer to Green Bay as far as physical tools are concerned. I think if they have to keep one quarterback, if they want to keep other players on the roster, then I would say Scott Tolzien is probably the guy. If I was to say what the Packers would choose, I'd say they'd probably go with the safer bet with Matt Flynn just because of his experience with the offense. If I was a betting man, I would say that they would probably go with three quarterbacks coming into the season with the disorganization that happened with Aaron Rodgers' injury last year. They don't want to go through the same situation coming into this year.
Right. Well, that's pretty good. How about on the offensive line? You think they're going to hold up this year? I mean, obviously, you spoke about the injury to Aaron Rodgers last season. He got knocked around because of the shaky O-line. Does that happen again, or have they shored that O-line up?
Coming into the year, I was really concerned about chemistry, especially losing somebody who is as important to the offensive line as Dietrich Smith, who left to Tampa Bay. Coming into training camp, there's a lot of reports that Treader and Corey Linsley were having issues blocking B.J. Raji and some of the other nose tackles. There's a lot of issues coming into camp, but both centers look pretty solid during the preseason action. As you probably heard, J.C. Treader is going to be out for up to 6 weeks coming into the season, which isn't really a good sign, especially with Seattle being the first game on the schedule.
Right.
They lost Don Barclay, who is actually the guy who is kind of a jack of all trades for Green Bay. He could fill in at pretty much any position on the offensive line. They've lost him for the season. A lot of questions coming in for offensive line-wise for this team, especially with an untested rookie at center.
Well, then moving behind the offensive line, then Eddie Lacy. I like the kid. I liked him last year before he suffered an injury, the concussion against the Redskins. Can he carry the workload and be there for 16 games at running back for the Green Bay Packers?
I certainly think he can. The question for Eddie Lacy should probably be more how many years can he keep up with this particular running style. He has a very physical, aggressive running style, and that usually doesn't lend itself to a long NFL career, but I think the Packers have done a good, made a good decision bringing James Starks back into the fold.
Right.
He is really good in relief of Eddie Lacy last year, averaging 5.5 yards per carry. And I think Dwan Harris will be another great addition coming back from an injury last season. I think he'll be an excellent change of pace back, and potentially a third down back, and especially in the passing game. So I think they're pretty solid at running back coming into the season.
All right, moving over to the defensive side of the ball. B.J. Raji, injury, out for this season. Is that going to hurt the defense, or with Julius Peppers on the outside, is that going to help the defense?
After last season, it was definitely a glaring weakness of the Packers' defense. Was right down the middle of that defense. They're really getting no production from the defensive line. Inside linebacker, despite A.J. Hawk leading the team in tackles, there really wasn't a lot of playmaking from that position. And everyone pretty much knows that the safety position was a disaster last season. They had no interceptions at the safety position for the first time since the 1950s, I believe.
Wow.
So there's a lot of questions in the middle, especially with B.J. Raji getting injured. He was looking pretty sharp, getting switched back to his natural position at nose tackle, switching from defensive end, which he changed to after their Super Bowl championship. Really not a lot of production from B.J. Raji at the defensive end position, but at nose tackle, which is his more natural position, I think he was set to have a bounce-back season. Now, since he's out for the year, the nose tackle position is going to be left to kind of a sketchy cast of characters. You're going to have Josh Boyd, who was a defensive end last season as a rookie, Mike Pinnell, who's coming in this season, is a relative unknown as a rookie coming in, and LaTroy Guillen, who is he is a free agent from Minnesota. I believe he has 6 years in the league coming in, but is primarily a backup in Minnesota, so who knows what you're going to get out of him at that position.
Right.
Another potential that they could possibly bring in a couple of free agents from last season who are still sitting out there in free agency. Johnny Jolly still sitting out there, as well as Ryan Pickett. But it seems to be the mantra of this team to go younger and faster and more athletic on the defensive line this season. So I'm not sure if that's really a decision that they're planning on making. I think they're going to go with what they have and go from there going into the season.
All right. And speaking of that shaky secondary, it appears to me anyways that Ha Ha Clint Dix is ready to start. Do you think he's ready to go?
I think he's ready to go. The thing is, they really like what they have in Hyde. They really, really like him. They want to get him in as much as possible. I think you'll see Ha Ha Clint Dix in a lot of sub packages, especially in the nickel. You may see him and Hyde be interchangeable. Jermichael Hyde may play some nickel corner and having Ha Ha Dix relieve him at the safety position, or he may even have Ha Ha Dix cover in the nickel position coming into the season. With Morgan Burnett, they're kind of invested with him long term, but I think if he continues to struggle in his assignments down the line, I'd say you're probably going to end up seeing you're going to end up seeing Hyde and Ha Ha Clinton Dix starting at safety. Somewhere about the halfway point of the season if Morgan Burnett continues to struggle.
All right. Well, I guess finally the final question that I've been asking all the fans who come in on Fans Take. Last year, the Green Bay Packers were 8-7-1. They sneaked out a division win because of that one tie. Are they better, the same, or worse this year?
That's a really good question, because it's been really hard to gauge where Green Bay sits these last couple of seasons with so many key injuries. I believe last year, at one point or another, they're missing 9 starters off that lineup.
Yeah,
so it's really hard to gauge where they're at, especially losing somebody as integral as Aaron Rodgers. They lost Clay Matthews for a long stretch of time. Those are obviously your 2 franchise players. It's really hard to gauge where they're at. I think they're better than 8-7, but looking at the schedule coming into the season, I think that they're no better than 11-5, 10-16, based on the strength of competition coming into the season. But I think that's good enough to win them the NFC North again this year.
Yeah, that should do it. I'd say it'll take 10 wins this year. Competition's getting really, really good in that division. And I especially like the Vikings and the Lions to do better than they did last year. So the Packers have their work cut out for them, that's for sure.
Yeah, and as far as the other teams in the division, it's a wait-and-see basis for me. I don't think Chicago and Detroit and Minnesota have added enough pieces to those defenses to ultimately win the NFC North. I think Detroit obviously and Chicago have enough offensive weapons to be competitive, but at the end of the year, I don't think they have enough on the defensive side to win the North. I like Green Bay.
All right. Well, we're talking to Pete Lopino. Pete, thank you for representing the Green Bay Packers on FanStake. I appreciate it. Good luck to you. How many games are you going to go to this year?
I'm going to try and make it to at least a couple, but we'll see.
All right. We'll see.
Indeed. Busy schedule.
Thanks a lot, Pete.
Not a problem.
All right. Now coming in to represent the Minnesota Vikings, Ben DeBono. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing great, Stephen. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm glad I didn't call you DeBono.
Yeah. You were kind enough to make sure that you got the pronunciation of my last name correct. And both I and my Italian ancestors are grateful for it. So well done.
Well, that's good. That's good. So you're here representing the Minnesota Vikings. Hey, all I've got to say about the Vikings is, man, they have yet to lose this preseason, right?
Well, they have, but, you know, the stat I love about that when it comes to the preseason is a certain team back in 2008 was 4-0 at the preseason, and that was the Detroit Lions, who went on to go 0-16. So I try not to get too excited about preseason wins because historically – you got to really take that with a grain of salt, you know. But still, it's encouraging. It's been good so far.
Well, you know what? Here, I just want to give you a couple other teams that have yet to lose in the preseason. The Saints are 3-0. The New York Giants, with their inept offense, are 4-0. And the Baltimore Ravens are 3-0. So they're up there with some pretty good company. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, that's decent company. Yeah. I don't know about New York. I don't think they're going to do too much this season, but – the other two certainly was in the toast of the NFL, so you got to like that.
Exactly. Well,
and, you know, they've been doing it without AP, too, which is the amazing part, is Adrian Peterson hasn't taken a snap so far in the preseason,
That's what it's eye-opener that Peterson has yet to take a snap, and yet the Vikings have won all their preseason games, and they have a net differential of plus 24 points so far, scoring 70 points and only allowing 46. The only teams that have yet to win a game, the Dallas Cowboys, which are 0-3, the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, I'm sorry, Stephen. That's no fun for you.
The Cleveland Browns are 0-3. And those two teams, you know, we're not going to expect much of them this year. But
you're not choosing the Cowboys for your Super Bowl pick this year?
This might be the first year ever in the history of NFL Rants and Raves, that I have a different team representing the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Well, you know, I've been listening since season 2, and I'm pretty sure it's always been Peyton Manning's team for the AFC and Dallas for the NFC. So this would be quite the combo breaker if you were to break away from that.
You picked up on that.
I did.
Peyton Manning in the AFC and the Dallas Cowboys. I may have to break that streak this particular season. But the other team that's also yet to win a game is the Indianapolis Colts, 0-3. And I guarantee you they run away with the AFC South this season. So
let's not put
too much stock into winning or losing during the preseason. Yeah. All right, I've got some tough questions for you tonight. The Minnesota Vikings today, they decided to go with Matt Castle to start the season over rookie Teddy Bridgewater. Is that the right move?
I think so. You know, Bridgewater, he didn't look that great in the first preseason game, but these last two he certainly has. But, you know, I'm really more of a fan of kind of the sit-and-wait approach when it comes to rookie QBs. I know we've seen in recent years, whether it's been Cam Newton or Andrew Luck or Robert Griffin, you know, we've seen these rookie QBs step in and have great success. But I'm really a fan of giving them a chance to learn the system and get accustomed to the NFL culture before they have to carry the weight of a franchise on their shoulders. And, you know, the other factor for me, too, is Matt Castle, I mean, let's be honest, is not the worst quarterback in the NFL and not the best. He's smack dab in the middle of NFL quarterbacks. But having had to go through what he went through last season, you know, with just the complete disaster that was the Vikings quarterback situation, and being willing to stick with the team when he could have tried to go somewhere else, I think that, you know, when it's as close a call as this was, you kind of owe him enough to give him the nod because of that. I mean, he I don't know how much you remember from last year, but where we had Christian Ponder and that it was Matt Castle for a week, and then we brought in, what's the guy's name?
Josh Freeman for one game.
Oh, my gosh. That horrible game at the Giants where he broke the record for the worst completion percentage or something like that, or the most incomplete passes. And then we went back to Christian Ponder. And it was just this nightmare, a complete nightmare at the quarterback position. So I think that, you know, we owe Matt Castle a little bit for that, and he deserves to be rewarded for his loyalty. And, you know, I'm optimistic based on what I saw from him last year that he's going to give us some good stuff.
All right, here you go. Here. The Vikings are at St. Louis, home to New England, at New Orleans, and then home against Atlanta. Those are the first 4 weeks of the season in September. If Minnesota is not 2-2 or better coming out of week four, I think they switch over to Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, you think it'd be that quick?
Yeah.
I mean, because that's a tough schedule.
It is a tough schedule, but if they come out of there 1-3 or 0-4, why not just throw the rookie out there and see what he can do for us?
Yeah, I think for sure if it's 0-4. I mean, you look at St. Louis and what just happened with Sam Bradford. So that should be a win for us.
They need to win. They have to win that game.
They have to, absolutely, because you're not going to beat New England, and you're not going to beat the Saints.
On the road, they're not going into New Orleans to beat the Saints.
No, they're not.
They have a chance hosting Atlanta. They have a chance to win that game. So I'm going to give them 2-2. Yeah. They're 2-2 or better. Then I think they continue to stick with Castle. If they're 1-3 or worse, I think they make the switch to the rookie. Let's move on.
Yeah.
I guess that's the second question I had. I'm putting it that early. Do you see Bridgewater starting at any point during the season?
Well, I hope not, because like we were just talking about, Bridgewater starting depends a little bit on the Vikings season going downhill. I think that, you know, if some of it depends on how the quarterback play is going, because the first part of our schedule is rough. But so if we come out of there not so great in the wins and loss column, but Matt Castle has looked solid, I think they are going to stick with him longer.
Right.
But if it's the bad Castle from the Kansas City days who shows up, I know how fans in this town work, and there's very little loyalty for our quarterbacks once they start stinking up the joint.
I like how you say that. It's the bad Castle. The bad Castle has come out.
It really is. I mean, you look at his career, he can be so good and so solid, and then the next season is just a train wreck, you know. Yeah. And so you just don't know what to expect from that guy.
All right, what can we expect, speaking of expectations, of Adrian Peterson? Because I'll tell you what, my fantasy football season is going to hinge on Adrian Peterson. I have taken him everywhere. Almost everywhere I've taken Adrian Peterson. He needs to have a huge year. What do you see from him?
Oh, man. I hope he does. I think there's a couple factors against him, though. You know, and one of them is that I don't think the offense is going to be as wholly reliant on him this year as it has been in previous years. I mean, outside of the year where the first year that Brett Favre was here in 2009, where Brett Favre was just light, you know, just incredible. The quarterback play every other year of Peterson's career has been mediocre to awful.
Right.
And that's resulted in him having to carry the whole load.
Yes.
I'm expecting a more imaginative offense, especially from North Turner this year. I'm expecting the pressure to be taken off of Peterson. Obviously, that might not happen if Castlebaum's out and Bridgewater isn't ready to go.
But I'll tell you what about North Turner. He has had some great running backs, and he utilizes them. And that's why I'm very happy about Adrian Peterson. Norv Turner loves to hand off the ball, and he knows how to utilize the running backs coming out of the backfield. I'm expecting big things from Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, I think one of the factors is going to be, too, can Adrian Peterson start catching the ball a little bit more? Because that has not been a strong point in his career up till now. And you look at, like, LaDainian Tomlinson in San Diego when North Turner had him. They were doing more of that type of stuff. So I think that, especially if you do get Bridgewater in there, having AP become that kind of safety blanket for the short dump-off or whatever,
that
could be key, especially if you're thinking fantasy, for AP having a huge season. I don't think he's going to go 2,000 yards again as much as I would love him to. But he could still have a big year, especially if he steps it up in the passing game.
All right. Well, speaking of Norv Turner, is this going to be a good addition for the Minnesota Vikings?
Well, yeah, at least he's not Mike Musgrave, who's been our offensive coordinator in the last few years. I don't know how much Vikings games you watch, but Mike Musgrave, or maybe it's Mark Musgrave, I'm forgetting his first name. But his play card was about the size of a Post-it note. It was the most simplistic offense imaginable.
It was a large Post-it note. It was the bigger, you know, Post-it note.
Yeah, it was one of the bigger ones. It was like kind of a widescreen Post-it note, but still, you know, it was an embarrassing offense. I think Musgrave, if you think about the Vikings coaching problems over the last several years, certainly Leslie Frazier didn't do the job many of us were hoping he would, but I'd honestly put more of the blame on the coordinators, especially Musgrave. So Norv's going to be a huge step in the right direction. But on the other hand, you know, he's not a magic charm either. He's not just going to step in here and we're going to be the Denver Broncos on offense. Yeah.
Well, but here's the thing. I like Mike Zimmer. I like that he got a chance to become a head coach. And Zimmer's going to take care of the defense. I think the Vikings defense is going to be improved, even though they'll be without Jared Allen, which I think is a hit.
Right.
I think the defense will be better. And if Norv can get that offense to give, if he can put up 20 to 24 points every game, I think the Vikings will be in a lot of football games.
Absolutely. I think a lot of Turner's success is going to depend on Mike Zimmer creating a culture in the locker room, in game days, where Turner can do his thing and doesn't have to worry about, you know, drama or whatever, or he can just run the offense and let Zimmer be the head coach, and I think they're going to be a really good team together.
All right, we're talking to Ben DeBono and Fans Take. He's representing the Minnesota Vikings. Here's the million-dollar question. The Vikings were 5-10-1 last year. That one tie coming against the Green Bay Packers, who ultimately won the division. Is this team going to be better, worse, or the same?
Well, they're going to be better. They're going to be better. I mean, you even look at last year with all, there was so much going on that just really created a bad environment for this team, from the quarterback stuff I was talking about earlier to coaching issues. And even then, I mean, we could have very easily won another 2, 3, even 4 more games. Would that have been enough to repeat into the playoffs? Probably not. But this team was very close to being quite a bit better than their 5-10-1 record. So I think you add in the fact that this should, I hope, be a more disciplined team. It should execute a little bit better. We're not going to have the quarterback nightmare. We're not going to have Christian Ponder on the field, hopefully at all this year. So I think this could be an 8-8, 9-7 team. I think we're flying under the radar big time.
Right.
We could get off to a rough start because of that schedule, but this is going to be a solid team. And I think that, are we going to win the division? No. But we're going to be ahead of the Kitty Cats. You know, we're going to be ahead of the Lions for sure. Because it's just
behind
the Lions.
No other fan has taken a shot at someone else's team, and here you are calling the Lions the Kitty Cats. So.
Well, you just let me go off on the Packers for a while. I mean, we can get some shots in.
All right. There's Ben DeBono representing the Minnesota Vikings. Ben, if the Vikings do well or don't do well, if there's any big news with the Vikings, we'd like to have you come back on.
I would love that, Stephen. And, hey, in a few years when we have the Super Bowl in Minnesota, you got to come up here. You know, you're always complaining that you're hot. Well, I think you come to Minnesota in February, I think we can solve that problem.
Solve that problem. I'll be cool.
We can take care of that for you.
Thanks a lot, Ben. I appreciate it.
You bet.
So there you have it. That is the NFC North Bears. I didn't actually say how I thought the Bears would do. You know what? They finished 8-8 last year, just behind the Green Bay Packers. That half a game, that tie that the Packers had kind of gave them the division. And the Bears kind of were left outside looking in. It was a very hard way to end the season. I think the Bears right now are a little bit better. I could see 9 wins for the Bears. For the Lions, Rico Stone, thanks for coming in and talking Lions with me. Appreciate your service once again, young man. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure that the Lions are any better. I like their offense. I'm just not sure defensively. And hopefully Caldwell can come in and give that football team some discipline. If they get disciplined, start playing disciplined football, and they stop doing all of those crazy penalties, which I believe were primarily the head coach, Jim Schwartz, was responsible for a lot of those, not giving his team discipline. If Caldwell gives them discipline, they could be a force to be reckoned with. Pete, thanks for coming in and talking about the Green Bay Packers. I like the Packers to win the division this year. I think the Packers are actually a better team, and I see 10-11 wins from Green Bay. Minnesota Vikings, I believe, is the team to watch. I think they're a big question mark. But if that defense can hold up, I think you're going to see some good things from that offense. I expect another huge year from Adrian Peterson. And Cordarrelle Patterson, remember that name. I think he wasn't used as effectively last season. I think Norv comes in and does a good job there with him. And takes advantage of his speed and his quickness. So I like that a lot. I like the Vikings to finish just behind the Green Bay Packers and be second in the division as I see the Bears and the Lions kind of slipping down a little bit. So that has been the NFC North. All the talk there is going to be it. Just 2 more divisions. NFC South coming up. I am in the process of working with the Atlanta Falcons to try and get Steven Jackson in for our next show as the Falcons go back to London. He has been there before when he was a member of the Rams. We're going to try and get him on the show. And I have more folks coming in on Fans Take. Bucks fans, there was a line of Bucks fans. So if you still want to do Fans Take, want to participate, I've been having a lot of fun talking to you fans all over the country. It's really cool, so feel free to shoot me an email. I'll leave you with this. The final week of the preseason is coming up in just a couple of days on Thursday. There are still a lot of questions that remain out there. The craziness is that not a single starter will probably be out on the field on Thursday. I know a lot of people are like, that's just crazy. Yeah, you don't want to get anyone hurt the day on the final game before. That doesn't really mean anything. But there will be a lot of evaluation of talent. I'm pretty sure most of the teams already have their 51, 52 guys for sure pegged in. It's that one or two spots that they're still trying to figure out. This is where a guy is going to earn his place on a football team, this final game. So it may not mean anything to us. It may not mean anything to the teams as far as standings are concerned. But I tell you what, it means a whole lot to those guys on the bubble to show out there and come out and try to show their stuff to try and make that final team. That's all I've got for you. Remember to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Go out to NFLRNR.com to get all the social media handles. I appreciate you listening. All you SO donors that have continued to give generously to the show, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much for keeping me going. I'm Steven Miranda, and you've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. We're out.